F1A, number 19B.
Though it goes further to truth, and again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride on them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. It gives the tone of truth, as you see, the victory over error, the dominion of truth over error. He will overthrow and overthrow all the kingdoms, all the chariots, all the kings, and all the horses and the riders, and everything is being brought down. He will even shake the heavens and the earth. It gives the sense that the moment, it was actually so, the moment one began to see something about the days of creation and the order in being, it was as if that would shake the whole earth, actually not the material earth, but that it would shake our consciousness so that it began to order everything in our consciousness. I remember those days very clearly, so for the first time, so around about 37, 38, when it was introduced by John Dolly that being has order, and he could not only saying it has order, that every Christian Science will say. Every Christian Science will say there is order in being. Nobody will say there is chaos in being. No one. There is order, there is order, there is order. But ask them what the order is, and they can't answer. They all say there are laws. Yes, God's law. Yes, the law of life, truth, and love. Yes, there is only one law, the law of God working. Ask them, what is that law? How do you define laws in the plural? What is each law? How do you define this law, that law, and the other law? And they will not be able to answer. So the moment we could see order, we could see law, because the order is a law, and so one began to realize that there is a law that orders everything and finally brings forth a system. Divine metaphysics is reduced to a system. Everybody will say, yes, the textbook says that being is system, has a system. Ask them what the system is, and they don't know. And the Lord will come and shake the heaven and the earth. It is like shaking everything, like in a kaleidoscope. You shake, and every time a new form is coming out, every time you see a new constellation of ideas, you see the calculus of being. Through that shaking, we see that there is an infinite calculus. Every time ideas relate to each other in a different way and help each other and welcome each other, sustain each other, always forming a new constellation, a new form, that's the divine infinite calculus. And so we begin to see what here the prophet is saying, that the moment we start rightly, the moment we start by building stone upon stone, the moment we ask for order in our consciousness, actually we have to ask for order, actually we have to look out for order, and not just say there is order. Oh yes, I hope that there is order. Can I see the order? No, it is a measure that our whole attitude is that of a scientist that searches and researches for orders and for laws, because he knows very well the moment we have a sure foundation of an order, that then we can build a whole science on that sure foundation. A whole temple can be built on it. And this is always that which impresses me most when I look back now over practically 50 years of development of the idea, starting around about 1936, when John Dolly introduced that there is actually the science of all science, that science of all science has law, order, rule, system, method, plan, and design, that from that awakening point, that from that point one can see that the development, each step of that development was resting on the preceding research. Actually, we can't say that the idea has evolved or has unfolded or developed, but it has just been so that a new aspect has been seen suddenly out of the blue. That was not so. It seemed to come out of the blue, but it was always so that the precondition was always laid before, that we cannot have structure without order. That's impossible. We cannot have system without categories. That's not possible. So even in the scientific development of the idea, we see that there is order. And therefore, looking back, one can see that every step we were going, which brought another aspect of science into the picture, but that was always coming out from the preceding step. It was a shift. It was something new. It was a mutation, but always on the basis of the preceding research. You see, it's like in any other science. Only somebody who is well versed in the fundamentals of a science can see something new. Something new, the theory of relativity didn't come to a carpenter just because he's a holy man or he's expecting something new to come. It had to come to a mind that was trained in physics and was open for something new, who questioned really Newton and said, did he say really everything? How is it if this or that factor would be different? So we must see that we don't think that the science that we are studying just falls into our lap, that the whole elaboration of what we see today, the structure of the Bible, the structure of the textbook, the restructuring of the text, and all that doesn't fall into our lap just because we like Christian Science. It only falls into our lap if we are building in an ordered way, when we start really there where we should start. And that's always my great anguish, I would say, but I always feel that the students don't like to start at the right place, that they like to sidestep the study of the synonyms, that they don't like really to study the synonyms from the textbook. They like to be introduced into it in a class, they like perhaps a presentation of it in a class, but that's that. But to go on to the most important work that we have to do, to lay stone upon stone, means really to go to the textbook and study the seven synonymous terms first in their tonality. And in order to do that, to bring out first to their consciousness and their research the ideas characterizing the synonymous terms. So this will be always a great danger. Over 50 years I have seen that there is seldom a student who has a love for it to say, I take my time and go from one passage of mind to the next and ask myself, why is this mind, how is mind expressed in this sentence, what are the ideas expressing mind, go to the next statement of mind. It takes weeks to go through mind, then to spirit, and ask the same thing, go all through the references of spirit, always asking, researching, questioning, what is the idea that is brought out through the synonymous term spirit, then to soul, then to principle. It can take years, but that is something everyone has more or less to do. Not more or less, he has to do it. And it is as if the devil would really be there and say, well, you don't need to do it. You just take the list that Max has made or that are in the compendium and you just learn these terms. It isn't the same. That what one finds out oneself, that goes deeper. Then just to say, well, why should I reinvent the wheel? That's the rendering that comes up lately. I've heard it here in this country already a few times this year. Why to reinvent the wheel? Yes, each one has to reinvent the wheel. Because our subject is an inner subject. It is different in the material sciences. There you can invent the wheel and then it is invented. There you can invent the diesel or a car or so, then it is invented. There, then the others can take it on. They don't have to reinvent it. Not in science. In science, everyone has to go through that order because you cannot adopt a child. You have to bring forth the child out of one's own loins. It is something that is remolding one's consciousness. And therefore, that birth has to go on in each one of us. And that's the difference. And so, the question always has come up, isn't there a shortcut? Why do we have to do all that work that you people have been doing many years ago? Why should we do it again? You have done it for us in other sciences. Somebody invents something and the whole rest of the world can just take it. I don't have to invent electricity and the bulbs up there and so on. I just can go and buy them and there it is. Not in the spiritual line. There we have, each one has to build his temple. And so this is my great desire to see that the students would really love to do that work. And I see that usually they don't love to do it. They feel, I have to do it. Nobody has to do it. Nobody has to do it. Everybody is invited by God to say, you can do it if you want, then lay stone upon stone. And then this will shake the earth, as it is here in truth. Then that will overthrow the whole world. It is an indication here in truth about the calculus of truth, that it will shake the earth and the heaven. Always that calculus of spirit is shaking the material calculus, the material way of thinking about reality, the material way of thinking about being, about our life, about man and the universe. It's a real shaking that takes place. Then there is a last tone. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? I have made thee as a signet. A signet, especially in those times, they used like what you call it, a sigil, a signet, when you had it on your ring and you pressed it on what? Seal? Yeah, sealing something. To give it it is a mold. And the mold is really a womb, a matrix. I make you the matrix. So you can seal everything with that matrix. in order to, so as to say, look here, if you have the days of creation, the numerals of infinity, stone upon stone, if you have the calculus of being, the truth that is shaking the whole world and shaking it as long as it is overturned and overturned until it comes whose right it is, until the divine infinite calculus is brought out, then you get your signet. And you get your matrix, with which you can really calculate and form everything in your life. You can give to everything in the universe your signet, your impress. You can give a terrific impress on the whole world. And so I have chosen thee as a signet. You put your signet, your seal, on the whole world. And I feel that Jesus has done that, and that Christian Science will have to do that. If we really believe that Christian Science is the truth, then we must have the trust in it, that as we lay stone upon stone, as we advance carefully, as we don't jump in our understanding, that we go the way of the educational program, which is laid out so that it leads from one category to the next category. And if we really obey that order, that will form a consciousness within us that will mold the whole world and will give an impress on the whole world. So the question is, do we see that each one of us is a Haggai, a signet? Or do we always think, no, the other one is going to do it? The other one can do it, I can't do it. The other one can do it, I can't do it. The other one understands it, I cannot understand it. Do we put off our responsibility to be such a prophet like Haggai? You see, then, he has only given, so to say, the method of building. They don't say that they finished the temple in this prophecy. They only started out building the temple. They only gave the method to build it. Whereas then, afterwards, the next prophet, which is Zechariah, he then shows the structure, the master plan of that building. Now we can't take that text, that is too long, but just to see what then happened, that afterwards came Zechariah, the young scientist, the student of Ezekiel. He came home to Judah and he began to tell them the form of that temple. Just as John Dolly came and said, I give you the method, he said, for years and years, you can't imagine that anymore. For years and years, he would say, now you go home and you study your synonyms. And for years and years, we went home and studied the synonyms. That is today missing to a great extent. And that's a pity. And we have to be careful and watchful that we lay a good foundation, because everybody would like to see the temple, but not to build it. Everybody would like to enter the temple and look at it and see how wonderful it is, but not to build it. Each one has to build it. Nobody can build it for somebody else. Everyone has to do the job. Everyone has to reinvent the wheel. That's different. So Zechariah gave the plan of that building. So he showed the world order, then the Christ order, then the Christianity order, then the science order, just as Dolly would have shown it. Before he could see these four orders, for years he only knew one thing, to study the synonyms, for years and years. And then little by little we began to study other orders. That was during the war when one began to do that. And actually, one wasn't quite sure about it, that Christ order and Christianity order and science order, which came towards the end of the war, that was very foreign still to our consciousness. It isn't so that we got all these things in a year or in half a year. It took long, many years, many, many years, until finally he came and said, look here, there are also levels of science. You can go up in science from Christian science to absolute Christian science and so on to divine science, science itself. All that took about 10 years. He started out with telling us to study the synonyms in 37, and it was only in 49 that he showed the four levels of science. So it took over 12 years, so to say, for what you get, so to say, in the first class here in the educational program within a week, is shown what the categories are. You are introduced right away into the whole temple. But then we would like to see that there is a year between one summer school and the next summer school, and that year is the more important part of the year than the summer school itself. The summer school only can give, so to say, a new impetus, a new impulse, where to go and show the message and show the way. But actually the time between one summer school and the next summer school should be really the fruitful time, where one sits down and is alone with one's own God and says, now I want to dig into the subject. I really want to get to the core of that subject. Where one is alone, where something within us prays, and in prayer. And in prayer, I don't mean that you fold your hand and get on your knees. We know that. It's an inward attitude that marvels at the greatness of the science of being, that has a great estimation, a great evaluation for what we are studying, what we do, that can see the promise of what we do, that can anticipate really the promise of what it will fulfill, not only within us, but also in the world. All that is an attitude of prayer. It's an adoration. That's why worship in these prophets always come as such an important part. The moment they come to spirit, it's worship, worship, worship. Worship the only thing. Don't worship other things. It is that to see that subject which we have under consideration is really the adorable one, the only one that matters. Everything else doesn't matter. When the day comes when we go away from this plane, all that matters is what we have spiritually. All the material things don't matter anymore. The family doesn't matter anymore, the bank account doesn't matter anymore. If we have a big house or a small house, doesn't matter anymore. You are face to face with reality. And therefore, it's no use to try to evade thinking about ultimate reality. And therefore, give one's whole love to understand the fundamentals of Christian science. So, Zechariah, therefore, will show us the temple, and Malachi, then, as we have seen, is the priest in the temple, that shows, now give the best you have for this idea. Don't give lame ducks. Don't give polluted bread as an offering. Bring in all your tithes. Your tithes. And therefore bring in everything, the best you have. The best you have in time, in energy, in devotion, in honesty, in earnestness, in perseverance. Bring it in, and add a little more to this. Just a little more to all that. And just not one-tenth, bring in the whole what you have. And then you can be sure that I will pour out and open the gates of heaven and pour out more than what you can receive. That's the law of life, truth, and love. And that it can be done has been shown by Daniel. He showed, yes, then I am a scientist. Then he could manage every situation. Whatever the situation was, he could handle it. And so he was the very embodiment of these four categories of being. He gives his prophecy, or again showing the four orders, showing that he is nothing else but the calculus of being, that man is a scientific fact.